Today, we remember the Protestant Reformation. This is the 499th year where the people of God began the Reformation, in which Europe was freed from the Dark Ages, when the gospel, which was hid from the people for 1,000 years, was finally taught on 31st October 1517. The Augustinian monk began the Protestant Reformation when he nailed the 95 theses on the castle door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. That began the Protestant Reformation. And the church that we have today, our order of worship, was after the Reformation that came from that time. It was a reformation, first of all, of doctrine. It was a movement to restore the supreme authority of the Bible as our sole foundation for faith and practice. This is the basis by which we would live our lives, because these are the very words that God gives to us, the Holy Scriptures, penned by more than 40 authors over 1,600 years, with that unified theme showing us the way of salvation, the way to God, the way out of the problems of sin in this world. The Reformation was, in essence, a movement back to the Bible. You may ask, what is so significant about that? With this opening of the Word of God, the secret to true spiritual life was rediscovered. You see, during the Dark Ages, the Word of God was hidden from the people of God. They don't know the way to God, the way to salvation in Jesus Christ. For 1,000 years in history, we call it the Dark Ages. But God was gracious. Gracious for that, the discovery, the way back to the Word of God, how to be born again, the doctrine of salvation of the Roman Catholic Church may be illustrated mathematically like this: faith plus works equal to salvation. You must do something in order to earn your salvation. But the Bible teaches a different understanding of the way to God. It is faith equal to salvation plus works. Faith in Jesus Christ alone is enough to save a man and to bring him from hell to heaven. And this is the work that we are involved in, to show men and women the way to God. And there is only one way that God revealed to us in the Scriptures how we can approach Him, through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And it was during the years leading to 1517 that Martin Luther, this Augustinian monk, was given an opportunity in a monastery to study the Bible. You see, at that time, the Bible was only in its original languages. Today, we have our Bible in English. But during that time, the Bible was in its original Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, or Hebrew and Aramaic for the Old Testament, Greek for the New Testament. It was translated to Latin, but not to the vernacular languages of the people at large in Europe. And it was during that period of time when this man, Martin Luther, was seeking the way to God. And it was also during that time in the period of human history called the Renaissance. The Renaissance was a period where men and women rediscover their roots. And that was when the Bible in the Greek, in the Hebrew, began to be read by the people again. And so Martin Luther read the Word of God. He read the book of Romans. And he came to a particular verse in Romans 1:17 that says, "The just shall live by faith." And he says, "This is the way to God. I don't have to do anything to earn my salvation." Before that, you know, he tormented himself. He says, "How can I be right with God?" And, you know, he took many drastic steps to live an ascetic life. And, you know, he did walk the steps of the monastery on his knees in order to gain a little bit more piety that he may come closer to God. But it gave him no peace until he came to the Word of God that says that he has sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins, and by faith in the finished work of what Jesus Christ had done on the cross, you shall be saved. Nothing that you can do to save yourself. And it was during this time of the Protestant Reformation that the orthodox faith, the faith of the Bible, was being taught all over again. And there was life all over. You see, if you have discovered the truth of God's Word, the Word of God is life that will come to you. And if you have understood it, it will change your life. And it has changed, I believe, the life of those who are with us today, publicly to reaffirm their faith publicly for baptism and for membership in the local church. And this Reformation was also a reformation of worship. Our order of worship is modeled after what is taught by the Reformers when they search the Scriptures. How men should rightly approach God. And so, if you were to look at our order of worship, no, do not take this lightly, right? Page 3 of our newsletter. This is the order by which God has taught us out of His Word how we are to approach Him. The reading of Scripture, the calling of His people to come in worship, the singing of hymns. You know, hymn singing was revived, a rediscovery during the time following the Reformation. And if you have, and as some of our friends here would see and know, Right? How the hymns of God cheers the heart. If you are down, if you feel depressed, how the hymns of God is able to cause the restless spirit, the anxieties of the heart to find rest. And that's where this man Martin Luther wrote the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." And this is the title of our sermon. And the hymn that was written by this man based on Psalm 46. You see, this hymn that we shall sing at the close, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God," was written when he was on his way to the assembly of the Roman Emperor and all his cardinals, the what we call the Diet of Worms in 1521. It was convened to determine a response to Martin Luther's teachings from the Bible. And the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V presided over the meeting, and the edict or the conclusion of that meeting was this, that Martin Luther, because of what he has taught out of the Word of God, would be made a heretic and an outlaw. And anyone who would shelter Martin Luther or provide aid to him would be a crime. And so you imagine, in that scenario, how precarious the situation is for this man who want to just share the Word of God to the people of God. What is the difference, you may ask? Why harp upon the things of the Bible? Well, my dear friends, we are speaking about a heaven and hell difference. In Jesus Christ, when we receive Him by faith for what He has done for us, we receive forgiveness of our sins, and God opened for us the way to heaven. You see, hell is a terrible place of judgment, a terrible place of torment, and death will be that separation. If you do not know God in Jesus Christ, before you take your last breath, it will be too late. Martin Luther understood this truth and the gravity of the situation for all the people around him, loved ones, friends, many whom they hold dear in their heart, how to help them. Well, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the only way of salvation. And therefore, it was during that time, in that Diet of Worms, that Martin Luther was called to renounce his conviction. And he says, "I'm convinced by scripture and plain reason, right, I do not accept the authority of the popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Help me, God help me, he says, and amen. And so, this man, Martin Luther, was incarcerated. He had to run for his life, and God protected him. He knew this God, and he especially went to the promises of Scripture, right, to Psalm 46, which we have read earlier. Right, this psalm was especially real to him. He had that opportunity to prove God when he was under arrest, incarceration, to run for his life. Who would protect him? Well, for him, he understood what he was doing. That movement that would begin to expose the corruption and the false teaching in the Roman Catholic Church would open the way of salvation to countless multitudes. And he knew what was at stake. And so, if you look at Psalm 46, you would be able to see how when he meditated upon the words of this psalm, it steeled his heart. It caused him to have strength, not to be afraid of what men shall do to him. Three thoughts for our consideration. Unfounded fear from verse 1 to 3, unfailing help from verse 4 to 7, and undeterred confidence from verses 8 to 11. Verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now imagine yourself in the shoes of Martin Luther, running for his life. When he read these words in verse 1 of Psalm 46, that God is our shelter, that's the meaning of the word refuge, that he provides shelter to you. He provides for you hope. And God also provides strength. Strength, the word there means power. God provides for us help. Because He is God. Omnipotent is His power. Right. He is the source of the psalmist's strength. And for him, he understood. He knew this God. And that's why he says that he will not fear for whatever that would come upon him. Verse 2 says, therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. He's telling us that if you have God with you, He will help you through the unnerving situations that come in life. If you are a child of God, then there is no situation in your life that can cause you to fear. And he says, therefore, will we not fear? And he paints for us the picture of violent changes in the commotions of life. And he tells us that if you have God as your refuge, He will take care of you. And he says that you will not fear. And that word there is very interesting. The negative. It's a negative that is according to reason. Because he knew the power of this God, that he is able to take care of you. And that's why he will not fear. Fear is emotion that comes into our heart and oftentimes overtake us. The fear of failure, the fear of disease, the fear of rejection, the fear of death. The fear of being alone. You find that man is plagued with many fears. But if you were to know this God who is able to take care of you, then all your fears must be allayed. And so he's telling us that we have a God whom we can rely upon. If you have any trouble as a child of God, what do? We should pray to God. Right? We should utter a prayer and ask God to help us. And we know that God answers prayer. There was a woman by the name of Hannah in the Bible. She was barren. And she went to the house of God to cry out to God for help. And the Lord heard her prayers and gave her a child. And this was a prayer, her prayer of praise to God. Right? She said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarge over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our Lord. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of thy mouth, your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." You see, this God is powerful. He can help us in ways that we cannot help ourselves. And if you have any trouble, as Martin Luther was in his situation, he prayed and God was with him to answer his prayer. And so it was wonderful for him. Right? God, by his amazing power, right, took fear away from him. And not only that, but he realized, he learned, right, from his experience that this God is an unfailing helper. He can rely upon him through all the situations in life. And that is something so wonderful. You have to take hold of him in order to experience him. And this is what the psalmist understood. And this is what Martin Luther understood. This God who is able to keep and strengthen him. And verse 10 of our text says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. Be still. Be at rest. Be quiet before God. God is in control. Be patient to seek him and to wait upon him." You know, one of the marks of spiritual maturity is the quiet confidence that God is in control without the need to understand why He does and what He does. And that is a confidence that God wants us to have. See, as we live our life based on the principles of His Word. It's that simple. And so the psalmist says, be still. He asked God to still his heart, right? Through all the vicissitudes of life, God is with him. The Lord of hosts is with us. And verses 4 to 7 was painted a picture of the siege of Jerusalem. How Jerusalem was under siege many times. And how God was there to deliver Jerusalem. There was one time in the Bible when the enemy came and surround Jerusalem. And there was no way out. They knew that they were in trouble. What did they do? At that time, it was during the reign of the King Hezekiah, during the divided kingdom, the southern kingdom. He went to the temple of God and he kneeled before God and he prayed. And that night, God sent an angel and killed 185,000 of the Assyrians. And so the next day, the camp was very, very quiet outside. God had delivered Israel. The Assyrians went back. In history, the power of God, and this is a supernatural God that we serve, that we love, for all that He has done for us. And so, Jesus Christ, before He went to the cross, He told His disciples in John 16:33, He says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in the world ye shall have tribulation." Right? In this world that we live in, many troubles will come. And you will have your share of it. But in me, ye might have peace. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good courage. I have overcome the world for you. And so if you have God with you, you have the Word of God to give you wisdom, to guide you through life, you can have that quiet confidence. And what is that quiet confidence? May I illustrate to you a picture. Two painters, each was asked to paint a picture to illustrate what is rest. The first chose his scene. It was a still, lonely lake with a quiet green pasture overlooking the quiet towering mountains. And the painter says, "This is rest." And then there is another painter. He threw right in the middle of the canvas a waterfall. And out of that waterfall, he painted a big tree. A big tree is a tree that has very weak branches. And there, out of a branch, he saw a little branch coming out. And at the end of the branch was a twig. And at the end of the twig, on top of it, was a nest. And in it was a little bird. And the painter says, you know, as the waterfall, the foam of the waterfall spray upon the little bird there. This was the assessment. Right? The first picture that you see is stagnation, but this second one is rest. A quiet confidence in God. He says that in rest, there are two elements, tranquility and energy. Silence, turbulence, fearfulness and fearlessness. And this is the life of God's people. Oftentimes, you know, many things can happen to us. A speck of dust gets into our eye. It can cause great problems. And, you know, God is the one that takes care. And the Lord wants us to know that if we are under His care, we are in good hands. He is our present help, the Bible says. He is our refuge, a place that you can flee to. And He is our strength. He is the one whereby you can draw strength for life daily. A very present help in trouble. And the Lord wants you to have the faith to trust in this God of the Bible. And the Lord wants us to know Him, love Him. The three thoughts: unfounded fear. When you have God with us, there is no fear. There should not be any fear in your heart. Unfailing help. You can call out to Him. He will surely help you. An undeterred confidence. Whatever may come, nothing shall move you. If you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He will bring you all the way to heaven. And there is no let up in His care for you. You can trust Him. Put all your confidence in Him as you utter the prayer in Jesus' name. So may you find strength in this God of the Bible. If you have any trouble, well, we learn to pray. When we will gather for our family day, we'll be looking at family prayers. How the family of the individual families who take time to come to God in prayer would find God helping them through their lives. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy mercy in showing us out of Thy word that indeed we have a God who is a very present help in trouble. God of who is a refuge and strength for Thy people. Lord, may Thou help us to take hold of Thee and help us to live our life as a testimony to the honor and glory of Thy name. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.